Today's shiur is on tefillah. So there's a very interesting gemara in Daf Zayin in Brachas which speaks about tefillah. Speaks about a Kodesh Baruch Hu davening. Now, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu davens, right, he doesn't think about other things. He knows how to daven properly, right? Correct? So if we learn what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is davening for and we invert it, we'll actually understand what we're supposed to be davening for. If you want. Okay, so let's learn. So let's try and understand this Gemara. And we also have to understand what a Kodesh Baruch Hu needs to daven for. I mean, like, what does he want from us? What does he need to daven for? A Kodesh Baruch Hu needs to daven? I mean, like, he needs a piece of schnitzel? He needs to daven for it? What does he need? Right, what does a Kodesh Baruch Hu need to daven for, right?
A shidduch.
A shidduch? Oh. Could be lonely then, Shemayim. Be careful now. Right, okay, let's be serious now. What needs a Kodesh Baruch Hu to daven for? Let's see the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi, the name Rabbi Yossi, Minayin Shakodesh Baruch Hu Mitpalel. How do we know, from where do we know that Kodesh Baruch Hu davens? I would assume he davens, but where do we know that from?
Why do we assume he
davens? What's davening,
right?
Why do we...
He doesn't wear tefillin? If he wears tefillin, what's he doing with it? He must be davening with it. No, because you have to understand. You're right, it's a good question. Now, obviously... the understanding what we say Kodesh Baruch Hu davens doesn't mean, you know, he's with a talis and with a siddur and he's davening. I mean, who's he davening to? I mean, there's a hierarchy of gods. What's exactly, you know, we're not Greeks here. Yeah? So we have to understand what we're talking about. We don't understand what we're talking about. We'll wait till the end to get a better understanding. Let's see. And remember, when we an agalata, we're always speaking in terms of our understanding of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's attributes. That means there's an attribute of a Kodesh Baruch Hu which he needs to daven for. We'll see, we'll get this. Shenema hevi'o vehevi'otim el ha'kodshi, and I brought them to my holy har, my holy mountain, v'samachtim bebeit filati, and they were happy in the house of my prayer. Right? And I made you happy in the house of my prayer. We're talking about Beis HaMikdash, right? So Kodesh Baruch Hu brought you to Har Kodshi, his holy mountain, which is Har HaBayis, where the temple is, and he made you happy in his house of prayer. Tfilatam lo ne'ema. It didn't say your house of prayer. It says, Ela tfilati, my house of prayer. If it's God's house of prayer, the Beis HaMikdash is God's house of prayer, right? That means God must daven there, right? Then why is it my tefillah, the house of my prayer? It should be Beiti shel tefillah, my house of prayer.
House of tefillah.
It says the house of my prayer. It says it doesn't say that my house of prayer. It says the house of my prayer. All right, that's your pshat. The Gemara didn't understand that. The Gemara understood. The house of my prayer. That means God davens, right? Mikan, says the Gemara, Shekodesh Baruch Hu mitpalel. The Kodesh Baruch Hu davens. Where does he daven? In the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what's he davening for? I mean, that's a big question. What's he davening for? Yeah. I mean, there's a hierarchy. Chas v'shalom. What's he davening for? So that's the next question of the Gemara. My Matzli. What is the Kodesh Baruch Hu davening for? Amarav Zutra Ba'atuvia Amarav. Now he's going to tell us what he davens. Yehi ratzon, let it be his will, milifnai, in front of me. May it be the will in front of me, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shikvishu rachamai, that I will conquer my mercy, et kasi, et my anger. My mercy will conquer my anger. So he's praying to himself. Let it be the ratzon in front of me, that my mercy will conquer my anger. V'yigolu rachamai, and will be revealed my mercy al midotai, on my characteristics, i.e. of anger. V'etnaheg im banai, and I will behave with my children b'midat harachamim, in the midah of rachamim, of mercy. V'kanes lehem, and I will enter with them lifnim reshurus adin, more than the letter of the law, i.e. I'll do them beyond the letter of the law. They deserve punishment. I will give them rachamim, mercy instead of the punishment. Beyond the letter of the law. I will not be coerced on their situation, angry with their situation, al pi din. That's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu was to daven for. Now, just do it. I mean, you have to daven to yourself and ask yourself, let my rotzen be that my anger, my mercy will take over my midah of anger. You daven, you guys daven to yourselves? You just do it, right? Yeah, you daven to yourselves? I think you're in the wrong yeshiva. We don't daven to ourselves. Kodesh Baruch Hu's there davening to himself. So okay, we got rid of the problem of hierarchy of gods. He's davening to himself. Okay, fine. What's he davening? He's davening that his mercy will overcome his anger. So what does that mean? What are we talking about? So what does this mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu davens to himself? Kanireh, when you daven for something, I want $1 million. Right? Well, maybe not. A few hundred would be good. What's easier to get? We'd have to really daven hard for. Something which is hard to get, right? So kanireh, there's something hard about HaKadosh Baruch Hu lot v'nohig v'midas adin. When his children do something wrong, there's a concept of a certain anhaga. There's this concept of a certain way Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with us. It's called Mida Keneged Mida. That's the lower facet. That's a simple way. This is the way that Rishonim speak about. It's a causality. You do something wrong, you get it. You do an Aveira, you get Yisurim. Oh, you think you didn't get Yisurim, you think you're having a great time. But most people who do Aveiras don't have such a great time. They don't enjoy life, they're not happy, most of them. They're happy for the moment, but in generally, their lives are a shambles. Go look at Manhattan, as an example. Right? Not a lot of happy faces there. Whereas if you walk around Yerushalayim, there's a lot more happier faces, right? Depends, if you look. It depends what you call happy. Right? There might be a lot of jolly faces, or dogs there barking, and stuff like that. But there's not a lot of happy people there. Because if you do have errors, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be contented in your life. Those are the Yisurim. That's Mida Keneged Mida. Now, when a person does something which is, right, which is different, he doesn't get the Mida Keneged Mida, why should the Kodesh Baruch Hu give him another way of acting with him? He does something wrong, he gets punched. He won't get punched, you know, a little smack on his face or electrocution in the, you know, putting his, where he puts his iPod in, you know, a little frizzle up or something, right? Or a beam of light will come from heavens and, right, like burn that little, you know, the hand that did whatever it shouldn't have done, right? We don't, that's not going to happen. But he'll feel bad and he'll feel sad, he'll feel depressed and he'll feel lonely and he'll feel life's not going his way. That will be Mida Keneged Mida. So that's easy. That's easy for Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's how it should be. That's Olam HaMishpat. Now says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I don't want to do that with my children. I don't do that. I don't want to treat them with anger, with Mida Keneged Mida. They did something, they get patched. I want to treat them with a higher level, Hanahaga, with Chanoti Asher Achun Afa Pishen Kudat. It's another Gemara here.
Why is Mida Keneged Mida called anger? It's just the reality. That's justice. It's not right. Anger. It's truth. It's emes.
Really?
It's not emes. It's din.
Din
is anger. Din is anger.
Din is anger?
Din is anger. If you're angry at someone, you want to give him back what he did. You might want to give it back more than he did, right? But certainly if you're angry, you want to give him back what he did. That's anger.
There's Elohim. Anger describes... That's how the world
of Teva, the world, you know, you have gravity, stuff like that, that's how the world works. In terms of where Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world, there's what's called Mida Keneged Mida, that's called Olam HaMishpat, and there's Olam, the higher level of the world, which is the world of mercy. You're right, anger would seem to be getting, let's try and work it out. Say a person does an Aveira. Mm-hmm. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu's angry with you, say you're supposed to get, you know, one punch. So if he's angry with you, he'll give you two punches.
Right.
Does that make sense?
But that's beyond Mita.
Yeah. But does that make sense? Yeah, does that make sense? No. From Kodesh Baruch Hu's point of view, does that make sense? That if a person like did something wrong, he should get one patch for it. He gets two patches. Does that make sense? According to Baruch Hu? No, that can't be. So anger can't be in the way we understand anger. That it means anger that you did something bad to me, I'll beat you up. You should get one patch. I'll give you five patches. Right? That's not what we mean by anger. Anger means we're invoking Midas Adin. That means you deserve a patch, you get their patch. He's not going to give you more than you deserve. Because he's focused on dying. He's not going to give you more than you deserve. So his anger here means expressing his din. You with me?
Even though in this world, din does not mean anger. Anger means going beyond the din.
That's how we understand anger. I'm not sure if that's real anger. Anger is when someone hurts you and want to give him back. You're right, people tend to give back more than they received, right? Because they're
The anger is the desire to do it for the sake of you being hurt.
Right, right.
The fact that they deserve it.
Yeah. For the sake of someone did something wrong, they're going to be given back something, right? That's Midas Hadin. Anger represents Midas Hadin, right? Obviously, it can't be more than Midas Hadin. Kodesh Baruch Hu, that can't be the system in the world, right? So now, what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu? There's a difficulty here for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Whenever you find tefillah, there's a difficulty. Here, there's a difficulty for Kodesh Baruch Hu. He wants, his inner desire is to treat us with mercy, with kindness, with loving kindness. It's hard for him. So what does he do? He davens. Who's he davening to? Himself. What do you mean he's davening to himself?
What do you mean it's hard?
From our point of view, remember, when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are we talking about?
How we perceive him.
How we perceive him. We can't talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu from himself. So when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu daven, we don't mean he's taking, you know, an art scroll siddur, right? If he's in a Baal Tshuva yeshiva, so we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens with an art scroll siddur, right? He's in a Tisha yeshiva, so he daven with, you know, tefillah kol peh. If it's Hasidic yeshiva, he's davening with Nusak Sfar. No, not Kedekach. We understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu is davening. It means there's a concept called tefillah by Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Yeah? The concept is that without tefillah, a person is in the road of Midas Hadin, the road of Midah Keneged Midah. Tefillah invokes the Midah of Rachamim. That's what tefillah is. That's why you see in the fourth parak, it's called Tfilas Rachamim. That's why you have Tashlumim. Right? It's called Rachamim. Terah is also called Rachamim. Rachmana, Amma. Right? Tfilah is called Rachamim. The Mahut of Tfilah. What Tfilah is mercy. It's invoking mercy. So when even a Kodesh Baruch Hu has a difficulty in invoking his mercy, even a Kodesh Baruch Hu has a problem in invoking his mercy, right? Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Even he. So now.
What does that mean?
Because a world, from our point of view, again, not from his, you can do whatever he wants, right? From our point of view, the world should work with Mida Keneged Mida. There's a problem here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to punish us straight away. He wants to give us a chance. He wants to give us time. He wants to do. He wants to be merciful with us. Why? What's mercy? Mercy is a mother being merciful to her child. Rachamim is from the word rechem, womb, right? A mother has rachamim, right? What does rachamim mean? Whatever the child does, oh, it's Shmulik, you have to understand, he had a bad day today, and she'll always give an excuse for him. She wants to be merachim. The womb, what does a womb do? Protects the child. That's what mercy does. It protects us from onish, from punishment. That's what mercy is about. You understand? Yeah? Yeah, we have a question?
Yes. So, is the actual kind of punishment changing by Kodesh Baruch Hu, or is it our perception of that punishment? We're looking at it in a way, instead of a din, we're looking at it as a way to grow, or a way to... The act is the same. Say we do an Avera, and we're punished for it. But our perception of that is in a different light, therefore it's for our benefit more. Is that the Rachmim?
No. Rachmim means as follows. Rachmim means that inside me this a din, you did an avera, you get a patch. Right? You get a patch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you don't get a patch. I'm going to wait with you. I'm going to hold on to that patch. It's not going to come to you. And I'm going to wait. And maybe I'll do things. Maybe get a little bit of a patch to wake you up a little bit, but not the real one. Maybe, what's it called, I'll arrange that you go to on a Ma'or trip or something like that, and that you see something, right? Or maybe the Pasha will bring you to some rabbi who'll talk to you about something.
Could go for the
Pasha
like that.
Yeah, that's a not all of Kodesh Baruch Hu's patches. Sometimes, you know, in life, those are the things. If we look in our lives, there were certain patches in our lives that brought us here. It wasn't always, like the candy that brought us here. A little patch sometimes that brought us to where we are. You know, some people might be that they wanted to marry the shiksa, and then they broke off a relationship with the shiksa, and they were, you know, then they began to think about, you know, because their mom says you're Jewish, and they don't know anything about Judaism, but I'm going to get rid of the shiksa. And then they get rid of the shiksa, and then they're like, what am I doing this for? And then that makes them find out. You know, all sorts of things can happen. It's all little different patches, or they're in business, right? A patch can be, there's the most successful businessman. They're making tons of money. They can do whatever they want. And now they can do whatever they want. They reach the heights of society, right? They're on 44th floor in, where is it?
Park Avenue.
I don't know.
I know we're talking about the business.
Oh, the business side. Huh?
Tom Wont.
Right, wherever it is. And they, you know, they're having a great time, so to speak. Then they realize, after doing it for, you know, a few months, it's empty. What am I doing here? That's also a patch. They got to the tops. People who don't get to the tops, it's not a patch for them. They think they're not, the reason they're not enjoying life because they're not doing what their boss did. Or where their boss got to, right? But when they get to the top and they realize this is a load of, you know, zero, that's also a patch. You understand?
You should strive for greatness.
No, I'm not talking about greatness. That's not greatness. Striving to be, you know, a half an animal is not greatness. We're talking about greatness is a person's behavior, how he behaves, how he talks, how he thinks. That's greatness. Greatness doesn't have to be how much money you have in your bank account. That's nothing to do with greatness. Greatness is a very personal, very inner thing. Your neshama is a personal thing. How much your neshama permeates you, how you daven and how he davens, you can be doing the same Shemoneh Esrei, you can be doing the same mitzvah. You can be doing it in a great way, and the other person can be doing it in a not great way. Depends how you think when you're doing it, how you're doing it, what's your kavana. Depends on a lot of things. What you think about in your day, how you speak in your day, how you act in your day. That's greatness. Greatness is a very inner thing. Rashi says, right? What's a tachlis? I mean, if you're speaking about this now, what's a tachlis? So Shlomo HaMelech, the wise of all men, said that everything in this world is hevel, is nothingness. Even 44th Street in, 44th floor in, where?
Time Warner Center.
Time Warner Center? Time Warner Center. That's a good place. 44th floor, that's a good place. All right. Even there, that's hevel. What isn't hevel? Yirat Shemaim, fear of heaven. What does fear of heaven mean? So Rashi says, every time you find Yirat Shemaim, right? Every time you fear Yirat Shemaim, it's natan lelibo shel adam. It's something which is personal and no one else knows about. Yirat Shemaim isn't how well I daven, you know, in front of everyone in the yeshiva. Yirat Shemaim is when you're davening and no one's even noticing that you're davening, what you're thinking. You could be going around like this, and, you know, like half skipping in your davening, right? And you can be thinking like anything. And then you can be just davening like that. Yeah, you can shuckle a bit if you want, or you can not shuckle. And your mind can be in Shemaim. And no one knows about it. When you're telling anyone about it, it's personal. That's greatness. Greatness isn't what people see. Oh, he's a great guy, successful guy. That's not greatness. Greatness can be a guy who's working, earning less than three figures, has a nice house, has good children, or Yerushalayim, has a nice wife, and he's a good person. He can also not have a nice wife. He can also not have successful children. Right? And he can be great. We haven't seen what Rav Shach's children were so great.
No.
He was a great man. A person can have all sorts of turmoils in life and still be great. You don't know who's great. People who understand what greatness is knows what's great. Because these people are great in the sense of the person they make themselves into. If you make yourself into a great human being, I don't care what people think. You know who you are. God knows who you are.
How do you share that with people? How can people be so great if they're not giving over to
Rav Shach gave over to everyone. Gave over to the whole Jewish people. He influenced the whole Jewish people. The Chazon Ish, it's a known story. The Chazon Ish with his wife. It was a hard situation. Right? Doesn't matter. It's a known thing. He didn't have children either. But he was a great man. He was a brilliant man. He was he brought, just because of the Chazon Ish, we have a religious Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael.
Just because he was so brilliant.
No.
How does that translate?
No. It translates in his actions.
In
his mashpia. Most of the influence. Most of the Gedolim weren't known about them, or people didn't get to see them, or they didn't teach even until they were around 60, 70 years old. And for the 10, 20 years or 30 years that they were known, their influence on the Torah world, on the Jewish world, was like tremendous.
Like the Vilna Gaon, for example. The Vilna Gaon sat all day long and learned by himself in a room blocked off from everybody else.
Yeah, okay. Well, everyone has to know. You have to understand something. Some of us have to teach. Some of us have to learn. Some of us have to go work, and through our actions and work, and the Kiddush Hashem we do back there, right, in America, that's our way. Everyone's different in how they approach their greatness. But the greatness is within. Greatness isn't without. Anyone who tells you greatness is without is totally mistaken. How much your figures in your bank account is? That's nothing to do with greatness. Nothing to do with greatness. Greatness is you. How you are. How much of a tzaddik you are. That's your greatness. That's your reason you're here. The bigger...
If people are so close to you, everyone directly influences you.
Of course, if you're a tzaddik, everyone will be influenced from you. Don't worry about it. If you behave correctly, the whole world will be influenced from you. You know how many people you meet in a life? I want to tell you something. The President of the United States, he's 4 years, right? Between the two of us, after those 4 years, what was like before the 4 years? What was like after the 4 years? You notice a difference?
Sometimes.
For the worse, usually, right? Not for the better, right? And let's say it's a little bit better. Right? So he did something in Afghanistan. So he did something there, right? Okay, so he liked the Jewish people. Oh, so we'll vote for him again, right? And some of them there 8 years. It's a long time being a president. 8 years. You can do more or less what you want. Meet in Congress and this, right? How much do they influence the world? How much? Whereas you in your lifetime, you get married, you have 10 kids, you bring them up well, right? After 20 years, those 10 kids get multiplied. You have grandchildren, another 10 for each one, like 100. So you have 100, right? And they, you know, you're gonna have, you know, another 20 years, right? After 60 years, right? There's 1,000 kids which came from you. Just that's the kids. That's just, okay, where should I talk about you for? let's even forget the, let's say it's not 1,000, let's say 600, 500, right? Even forget the 500, right? Forget the kids. You know how many people you influence in your life? Just a little talk that you say? You don't know how many people. It's unbelievable what you can do with your life. You walk in the street and someone sees that you're a religious Jew, and, you know, he gave you extra change. You returned it. You didn't think twice about it. Made a Kiddush Hashem. You don't know the rippling effect of your actions. It's unbelievable. That's greatness. Greatness is to behave great. Behave great when no one's around. Behave in your thoughts, in your speech, and in your actions. That's being a tzaddik. That's being great. You think everyone... God created us, right? Do you think everyone can be a multimillionaire? No. Does God want us to be a multimillionaire? can everyone have a 3 or 4 figure salary? No. Right? Right? So it means the 0.1% of the population are great. The 99.9% of the population are, you know, like, chaval al azman. You know, a waste of time. That's what it means. Everyone can be great. You don't agree God created everyone to be great? What can everyone do? What is in the hands of everyone to do? To be a tzaddik. To make money. To change the world. To do who says it's in your hands? If God gave that in your hands, okay, maybe that's the way you have to be great. But that doesn't make you greater than the other guy who isn't having it in his hands. We live in a society that if a multi-billionaire walks in, so we say, oh, he's coming into the yeshiva. Oh, let's get us all, you know, like steiging, learning, let's get this place like right. And we make a whole big thing about it. Because, you know, unfortunately, the world's the way it is. We need money. And people who have money, you know, they need to share it. And the more we need money, the more we want them to share it with us. So it's important for us, and we give them importance. The whole world gives these people importance. And you know what? I feel sorry for them as well. They're very insecure. Do I like him or do I like his money? They're so great. They feel so good about themselves. And they can lose their money. Many of these people lose their money. Not so hard. I mean, you know, only a few years ago, how many people lost their money? Were they so great after they lost their money? Did people like them as much? Did they get the same aliyahs, right? Or did they have, when people walked in, like, you know, hush, hush, this guy came in? So was he great or was his money great about him? Do you want to be that type of person? That what you have makes you great or what you are is what makes you great? You understand what I'm saying? I want to be the type of person what I am makes me great. And that's real greatness, not what you have. What you have you can lose. And also you can't bury it with you. Can't bury it with you. Your Torah and mitzvah goes with you. You don't have to bury them at all. It stays in the world. That's greatness. You with me? Clear? And everyone can be that great person. Everyone can bring out his greatness within, not outside of him, within. If you're going to make money and support your shivas, fine, okay, that's your greatness. If you're going to be sitting and learning, that's your greatness. If you're going to be doing, you're going to be working a simple job and having a nice family, that's your greatness. Whatever it is. But you will have to all find your individual greatness. Okay? We got off the topic, we'll go back now. So now, going back to tefillah. Okay. So what are we davening for? We're davening for his rachamim. We're davening for Kodesh Baruch Hu to bring into this world his mercy. To bring into this world his mercy. How do we bring into this world his mercy? He has to daven for it because it's hard for him. That means, al pi midas adin, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's simple dealings with the world is midah keneged midah. He has to pray to bring in a different anhaga. And that's what prayer is also for us. We're learning how Kodesh Baruch Hu davens to learn what our prayer is. Al pi din, according to my actions, I did not deserve midas adin, midah keneged midah. When I daven, I invoke a higher level of mercy. That's why tefillah is called rachamim. That's what I'm davening for. Now, how do I invoke a higher level of mercy? How do I do that? How does tefillah do that? How does this work? It's like, you put this red band on you and you get rid of ayin hara. So I stand with my Shemona Esrei and say these words in ancient Chinese and I get the higher level of mercy, correct? Right? I put on these black boxes and, you know, hocus pocus, I'm in a different world, right? That's how it works. I mean, that's how you guys learn Gemara? You learn Gemara, whatever it says in the Gemara, that's how it is? That's how you be teaching this yeshiva? Right? You learn Gemara, you ask a kasha. Tosfos ask a kasha. Rashi, you have a problem with Rashi. No one's holy here. The Amoraim, right, aren't holy for us. The Tanaim aren't holy. Tosfos is a kasha of the Gemara Taman. He leaves with that kasha. Nothing's holy here. We ask kasha. Torah has to make sense. So how now, taking up this ancient Hebrew book, right, which Anshei Knesset Gedolah enacted brings on the higher level of mercy. How do we do that? Okay. Right? Now you with me? There's something we don't understand here, right? You guys are davening, right? You were bringing in the higher level of mercy. Rabbi told me. How does that work? Okay, let's go weiter. Let's see. So let's see what a Kodesh Baruch Hu davens. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Pam achad, one time, he was Kohen Gadol. Nichnasti laktik toret. I went to burn incense. Lifnai velifnim. Inside the holies of holies. Right? This must have been only Yom Kippur we took Torah there. Veraiti a Katriel, and I saw a Katriel. It's a very interesting name for an angel, right? A Katriel is an angel. Katriel is Loshen Keter Kel, right?
Oh,
the crown of God, right? So this is Midas HaKeter. Midas HaKeter is referring to the Malach, the angel which represents Midas HaKeter. Midas HaKeter is the Rotzen, the angel that represents a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Rotzen, his will. A Katriel. Ka Hashem Tzvakot, right? Of Hashem. Shu Yoshev al Kisei Ram Benisa. He's sitting there on the highest chair, right? Next to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Va'amali, Yishmael, Bani, Yishmael, my son. So this angel represents the Rotzen of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Berachani, bless me. He's asking the Kohen Gadol for a bracha. Right? He's going in with Ketoret on Yom Kippur, and he sees a Katriel, and Katriel asks him to bless him. Okay. Amaltilo, and I said him, Yishmael, but he said, Rabbi Yishmael said, Yihi Rotzen Lefanecha, let it be the Rotzen in front of you, right? He knows who to ask, right? Because this represents God's Rotzen, this angel. Shikavshu Rachamecha, that your mercy will be, have dominion, et kasecha, on your din, on your anger. V'igol rachamecha al midotecha, and we revealed your mercy on your midas, on your midah k'neged midah, on your midas adin, or the lower level of hanhaga, the hanhagas ha-mishpat, the level of the way Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with the world according to justice. V'titnaheg im banecha, and act with your children the midah tarachamim, in the midah of mercy. V'tikanes lehem lifnim reshur sadin. V'nani barosho, and he went like that with his head. He put his head down like saying an amen. V'kamash malon, this came to teach me. Shelo tehe birkan hedyet kala be'enecha. The blessing of a simpleton shouldn't be easy in your eyes. Because even a Katriel said amen to my bracha. And klape Katriel, klape the angel, which represents the Rotzen of Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm a hedyet. Okay, end of story. That's the end of the Agarata, right? Okay. So now we find, he goes in, Lifnai v'Lifnim. What's Ketoret? Why with Ketoret? What's Ketoret? What does Ketoret in Yom Kippur represent? The incense. What's only in Yom Kippur you go in, the Holy of Holies. Lifnai v'Lifnim is the Holy of Holies. What's happening on Yom Kippur? What's the midah of Yom Kippur that I'm seeing now with Katriel? We all know that Yom Kippur is the day of complete mercy. So which angel is being revealed on Yom Kippur? The Rotzen of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Katriel. His keta, his crown. The kingship of a Kodesh Baruch Hu has been revealed on Yom Kippur. And what is he praying for? He's praying for mercy. And he says, amen. So what are we understanding here? We're understanding that somehow this ketoret, right, this incense, which we know from Chumash, right, the incense was meimis, and the incense was mechaye. We clearly saw that the incense caused death to the world, but the same incense brings life. It's mochel avonotenu. It causes us to our sins to be wiped out. Right? The incense of Lifnai v'Lifnim is part of the avod of Kohen Gadol. He only goes there once a year to the Holy of Holies. And he's asking for mercy. What is incense? What is incense? No, no, what is incense? Incense, what is it? It's besamim. It's some sort of like
spice
that you burn, and there's a smell. Okay. Why does incense represent? What does incense represent? What does incense represent? What does smell represent? So Gemara says, smell is something which a neshama benefits from. It's the only hana that neshama benefits from. Only benefit which the soul benefits from. That's what Gemara says. Call neshama tahal el ka
harel ka. Right? Really? So there's no hana from music.
Music is different. We're not going to speak about music now. Music is something, it's to do with Hanukkah and Bina. There's a lot of stuff in music. We're not going to speak about that. But incense. Incense is something, what is it, if you think about incense, what is it? Something tangible smell? Smell is something tangible. Taking something which is besamim and making something intangible. Right? And smell, it's a very beautiful smell, the incense. What is it doing? What do you do when you're smelling? It's taking something physical and changing it into something which is reach, which is the soul, something which is the soul benefits from. Taking the physical and translating it to something which only the soul benefits from. That's incense. Right? You understand? And that's bringing on our mercy. How's that bringing on our mercy? How's incense bringing on our mercy? Burning these besamim, what's that process that brings on our mercy? Taking something physical and translating it to something beneficial to the soul. What does it mean? What does that mean? That means converting the physical world into something which is complete spirituality. That means a complete negation of self, a complete negation of one's will, of one's personality. That's what incense represents. That's death as well. So incense represents death. Death is negation of self, negation of guf from the neshama. It's a separation. Incense represents the itbatlus, the complete nullification of self to something which is our higher, which is more spiritual. You with me? That's what invokes midas harachamim. And that's what tefillah is. Tefillah is like incense. Tefillah is when I come up to Kadosh Baruch Hu, how can I change his midas hadin into midas rachamim? When I mevatel myself completely in front of him. That's why there's a halacha in tefillah. There's a law in tefillah. You have to do it with kovid rosh, with a heavy head, b'hachna'a, and with some sort of humility. And hachna'a, I say hachna'a, bending over towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, nullification of self. That's why it's a sif in Shulchan Aruch, that when a person davens, he can come to a level of nevuah. How is it explained he comes to a level of nevuah? He comes to a level of prophecy. How? This is what tefillah is. He comes to it's pashtus haguf, that his guf, he's poshetit. He removes it like I remove a garment. What does it mean to remove your guf like you remove a garment? It means it's nullified. When a person reaches that level in his tefillah of a nullification of self, a bittul of self in front of the rotzen of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that invokes a nullification of God's rotzen, to a higher level of rachamim, of mercy. That's what brings it on. It says at Pirkei Avos, mevatel ritzono mipnei ritzon, mevatel your will in front of his will, kadei shivatel rotzen acherim in front of your will. There's a nullification of yourself to him, invokes a nullification of his midah to a higher level of midah. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah.
If we're supposed to nullify our sense of self, and I imagine our sense of ego as well, where do requests come
from? Okay, I explain. People make a mistake in requests. People usually request for themselves. That's a mistake. You're not requesting for yourself, you're requesting for the whole Jewish people. The Arizal, you know, this Kevin Tzfat says, and it's brought down in the Sfarim that says before a person davens, what should he think about? What mitzvah should he think about when a person davens? What mitzvah? Her fear of Shem. You would have thought, what? Yeah, so that's what similar to what the Ari says, a person should be mekabel upon himself, mida hafta arecha kamocha, to love your neighbor as yourself. Before you daven, what mitzvah should you be taking on yourself? I'm now taking on myself the mitzvah of loving my neighbor as yourself, right? And now, after taking on the mitzvah of loving my neighbor myself, well, you know what I need over here, Kodesh Baruch Hu? Well, a few $100 would be good for this month, and you know, I love my neighbor as myself, and $100 for, right? That would be good. And please give me more understanding of my Gemara. Yeah, and not my friend. Yeah, okay. No, that's it. It's a joke. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not proper davening. The davening has to be, you have to be davening. Ata chonen ladam da'at. Chonenu mitzecha. Chonenu. Be gracious with us. Chochma bina v'haskel. Right? Wisdom. Give us wisdom. We're done for the whole Jewish people, for the whole world. Of course, a person has to be normal. That means, when I say choneinu, I might say a little chassidish, I might say choneini, right? It's okay. Even if choneini means me, that was a joke, gave to me, right? But if I say a little bit chassidish, that's okay also. You understand what I'm saying? A person has to be normal. Of course I want for myself understanding, but I want understanding for the world. Now we're not on that level. We're not on that level, but that's what tefillah is.
What about the personal tefillah at the end of Shema Esrei?
Yeah, there's always a place for personal tefillah. Personal tefillah can be Shema Koleinu.
So you can pray for yourself there?
Yeah, of course you can pray for yourself. No problem praying for yourself, but you're asking the tefillah of Anshei Knesset Gedola. Of course tefillah is for your own bakashas. But you should always daven the Loshen Rabbim. You should always daven to the whole klal and include yourself in the klal. That's why it's tefillah b'tzibul. Why are you davening with a tzibul? Daven by yourself. Why there's a bigger tefillah b'tzibul? Because it's tefillah is a concept of tzibul. Tefillah is a concept of praying for the klal. You're part of the klal. So of course you have to pray for yourself. But that's a nullification of self. That's what makes your tefillah b'tzibul. If your tefillah is yourself davening, you're not nullifying self. If tefillah is, I'm davening for the klal, I'm davening for Kodesh Baruch Hu. When we're saying, you know, Bonei Yerushalayim, right? Build Yerushalayim. Let Mashiach come, right? You want it? You're interested in that happening? Just look at our tefillahs. Let's read the nusach of our tefillahs. Do you see what you're davening for? Rafa'enu. Right? We're davening for the Cholim. Just the Cholim. There's a whole Rishima of people in Sharm el-Tzedek. You know, we want there to be hospitals in the world, right? We want there to be. There should be hospitals because there's Cholim, unfortunately, but we don't want there to be Cholim. When a person thinks about other people when he goes into his tefillah, he'll be nullifying himself. The more we think about others, the more there's nullification of self. Yeah.
Recommend that
in person, like a shot,
we should phrase them in plural.
Look, if you have to understand something. There is a concept for a person to daven for himself. So when a person even davens, he has an eight sorrow. He has a moment of difficulty. There's a tefillah deraisa that a person should daven for himself, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him the difficulty because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants him to nullify himself in front of him. So those difficulties a person davens for, those personal things that he puts in, which isn't part of the standard tefillah, that actually might be a personal thing. Because he personally feels that difficulty, and therefore deraisa, according to the Ramban, midaraisa, that's his only tefillah midaraisa, according to the Ramban, he should actually daven into that own difficulty, because the nullification of his personal self there will bring on the change in him. You understand? So you have to understand that it becomes personal. When tefillah is on that level of personal, we're saying Baruch Ata, blessed are you. Right? That's personal. Elokeinu, our God, went plural all of a sudden. Melech HaOlam, King of the world. Right? That's the whole world. That's plural all of a sudden, right? So there's a personal part of tefillah and there's a plurality in tefillah. It's a dichotomy between praying for yourself and praying for others. Your self has to be the expression of others as well. You understand what I'm saying? Or others have to be expressed in yourself. Maybe that's better. Yeah?
I can't quite see how negating the physical and being spiritual, like taking off your body.
No, no, it means...
it's the same as negating yourself, because we have a spiritual self.
No, no, no. Your spiritual self, when this... we have a spiritual self, but let me explain to you something. When I'm hungry and I want to eat a piece of schnitzel, who's talking there? My spiritual self? Okay. When, I mean, it's my spiritual self also, because if I'm hungry, I need to eat, right? My goof might be giving me signals by eat because I want to learn Torah. It's my spiritual self. It's very hard when we're in our body to have these, like these, who's talking now? Like, who's talking? My spiritual self? My physical self? Who's talking? I know if it's an Avera, it's my physical self. But if it's not an Avera, like, it's very hard to, like, you know, like, watch yourself. Like, can you watch yourself? Can you watch what you're thinking? You can't. I'm thinking now. I'm thinking. That means me. Who's me? Oh, this goof over here, this head over here. It's very hard to negate it. But when I elevate myself from the physical, I come to a new level of self. I shouldn't be in the middle of tefillah, right? So, oh, I'm going to have a piece of schnitzel in 5 minutes time. That's a problem, right? After tefillah, I can have a piece of schnitzel. But I should, when I'm elevating for myself and my physical body, the desire of self becomes a desire of connection with something beyond me, something higher than me. That's what I mean. That's when you leave your physical body. Then your physical body doesn't become yourself. You elevate yourself to a higher level of self. Your neshama is who you are. But your neshama is in a physical body. When it's in the physical body, as it is, it will feel, I want schnitzel. It will feel, I'm cold. It will feel...
But don't you have spiritual desires, individual desires as well? Like, why... the neshama is also individual. The neshama is different from other people's neshamas. It's not only about connecting with...
Yeah, but the higher you get... the more, according to all our neshamas, we say, we're mixed together, right? All our neshamas, right, are connected. There's a hierarchy of connections. The higher we get up, the more we're interconnected. The more you will see yourself as part of a bigger self. You understand what I'm saying? We're more interconnected. The more you'll have less desire of your own self, selfish things. No, they're not selfish, but your own personal things. And tefillah has to be that way. Tefillah has to be a nullification of yourself. And when the bakashas, the desire of those things of yourself, right, should come from desire for the whole of Klal Yisrael. That's why we say it. V'after recha kamocha. Now, I'm not saying, you know, it's very hard for us because, you know, we're davening for the things that we need, right? But at the same time, it should be davening in the way of plural. You understand?
Rakhmi.
Yeah.
To mavatli yourself.
Yeah.
And therefore to pray on behalf of others like Hashem does.
Yeah. Now if we think about it, when I think about myself, that's midin. I'm thinking about, I deserve this. And I want this. That's midin. I'm asking mitzad my din. When I'm going beyond self and asking for myself with other people, with the whole Jewish people, right, or the whole world, I'm invoking what midah when I'm doing that? I'm invoking in myself the midah of rachamim. You with me?
Yeah.
What I invoke in myself is what happens midah keneged midah with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You understand what I'm saying? So if in my tefillah, I'm invoking my own rachamim, which will invoke the rachamim of Shemayim klapei mi. You understand how it works?
Yeah.
It's mamish midah keneged midah. How I come to Kodesh Baruch Hu of bitl atzmi, nullification of self, invokes my mercy to other people and seeing people as one with me, v'ahavta recha kamocha, loving your neighbor as yourself, that causes... on the other end, the same haficha, the same nullification kivyochol of the midah as din, the midah sadin, into a midah of rachamim. You understand? And that's what tefillah is. That's be'etzim what tefillah is.
The idea of Hashem helps us and we help others. Like,
Yeah, that's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a rule, generally speaking. But that's a lower level rule, I told you. But we can invoke the higher level on Hagah through using the lower level rule. The lower level rule is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works midah keneged midah. Nullification of myself will bring on the higher level Hanhaga, higher level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with me. And that's a midah of rachamim gmurim. That's a midah of complete mercy. That if a person invokes that through his tefillah, that's what he'll get. Now, a person shouldn't do that mitzadin, because if you do that, say, I'm invoking mercy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me mercy from the mercy that I'm invoking here, right? That's bad tefillah. You're not toveya HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing this, therefore give me this. That's a bad tefillah. That's a tefillah of din. That's what's called iyun tefillah. That I deserve. That's called iyun tefillah. I deserve my tefillah, my good davening, my good nullification of self deserves you giving me rachamim. Now you can understand why that's not a good tefillah, because that's a tefillah of din. That's not a tefillah of mercy. You come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I'm davening to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't deserve what you've given me. What you've given me, I don't deserve. What I have, I don't deserve. I'm dependent on you. Whatever you give me, just help me, help Klal Yisrael, help us get through these bad times, these difficult times. Help me in my learning of Gemara. Help my parents. Help my brothers, my sister, right? Whatever it is. You're davening for your personal self, but you're including in your personal self other people and your love for other people to bring them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that you want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's our first filler? Our first filler. When we open the Shemoneh Esrei, what's our first filler? Even open my mouth, I can't. Hashem, open my mouth. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm coming to speak in front of the king and say, Hashem, I can't open my mouth in front of you. Open my mouth. And let Hashem Tzifatai Tiftach, Ufi, and my mouth, Yagid, will reveal Tilatecha, your praise. You see, you're telling me, I'm a vessel in front of you, just help me to daven even. That's a complete nullification of self. That's what tefillah is. Nullification of self and a bikush and a desire of asking for Kodesh Baruch Hu not to be rachim on me, to be rachim on me and the whole of the Jewish people in the world. You understand? That's what we're doing. That's what tefillah is. And mimela that invokes his rachamim, his mercy. Yeah.
We have a personal prayer that is based on, here's a specific example. Let's say we're diving for like a shirk. We're diving for it because we want to feel that special connection with the wife so we can connect close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is that coming out of a place of selfishness or ego?
No.
Because we want to connect with the infinite, but at the same time,
first of all, I'm going to say something. First of all, if you tell your wife that you want to marry her because you want to connect with the infinite, she's not going to marry you. Don't tell us. That's bad news. Right. And if she's, right, that's bad news. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, of course. Now, but, of course you should daven for a shidduch. Of course it's a spiritual thing. You should daven for good food. It's spiritual. If you eat too much, it's not. Anything that you need can be spiritual and it can also be physical. You can also daven for a wife and it can be physical, right? Everything you daven for, if it's correct and it's something that you need, is a spiritual requirement. Because we're Jews. We don't say food is bad. We don't say marriage is bad. All these things are good. But the davening for them has to be in a certain way. So your way is a good way. I want to get married because I want to connect to my wife, and through connecting to my wife, to my creator. Yeah, that's a good wife. Right? You didn't say, I want to daven for a wife, and I want certain, 40, 30, 20. I don't know what the number is. Maybe that's all right. Right? Right? Although, often it'll happen that, Rabbi, I like everything about this girl, but she's right? But the nose, but the chin, but the, right? There's always those buts, right? Okay. So, if we daven well, we might even change our perspective. You understand?
We're not davening in the sense, in the voice that whatever your will happens, I'm subject to that, and I'll go for that.
No, you can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what you want. You can ask him. You can ask him for what you want. But again, I told you, if you're in a specific you have a specific situation and it's a need for you, that becomes a personal davening. Tefillah has its personal davening. But generally speaking, tefillah is the tefillah of the klal. And you within the klal. Ata Elokeinu. You understand?
Yes.
You, our God. It starts from you, because you can't, a person has to be normal. A person can't start, think of the needs of the whole Jewish people if he himself doesn't have those needs. But it's a nullification. Ultimately, the better we daven, the more nullification of self, and the more ahava we have for Klal Yisrael, the more love we have for the whole Jewish people. Okay.